Hey, we're at part three of five things a godly woman must do to save her husband and her marriage. And the emails and texts keep pouring in. We've hit a few nerves. Hey, I'm excited to reach out to you and talk to you about these things. But remember, at the end of the podcast, we will take on the men's responsibility. So ladies, take a deep breath, relax. We'll get there because that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Garth Heckman, the David Alliance, coming to you now. And it is Tuesday morning. Hope you're doing well. You can reach out to me at tdhgiantslayer@gmail.com. A lot of you have during this series. I promise to get back to you. It might not be immediately, unless I know you and we're good friends. But either way, I will get back to you. Also, we're brought to you by wellbuiltbody.com. Gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. So check it out. Hey, we're in this five things a godly wife must do to save her husband and her marriage. We've talked about respect, love, and today, next up, let's talk about honor. It's amazing. We think we understand what the word honor is, but when we look at it in scripture, it comes from the Greek word timē. And that literally means accord, honor, or pay respect properly to the perceived value or worth. What has the value in the eyes of the beholder, and are you willing to assign an honor or respect to that value? Okay, now you go, great, Garth. Well, that's really cleared up, thanks. Before we go any further, let's dumb this down for those of you who went to public school like me. So you honor, I'm speaking to the ladies, both of you, but you honor your husband and his value. And why is he valuable? Because he saw the value in you, and he chose you above others. It's like this. Someone gives you a brand new Zora Corvette. It's a limited edition Corvette. It has 1,000 horsepower, and I hope to order one. Anyway, very rare Corvette. And do you honor and take care of that car? Absolutely. But you also honor the person who gave it to you because they chose you and allowed you to receive that Corvette. Now, ladies, if you're given a Saint Laurent handbag valued at $4,000, do you honor and take care of it? Of course, but you also honor the person who gave it to you. See, you don't honor your husband because you are subservient and he demands it and scripture commands it. No, I mean, think about it. He could date 100 different women for 100 different reasons, but he dated you and he honored you by choosing you. And now you can honor his decision by honoring him. Now, here's the problem. The danger when we speak of this post-marriage type of honoring is women disguise their lack of honor by saying, well, if I'd known then what I know now, I would have married someone who loved me better, took care of me better, made life easier, and then I would honor them, or at least it would be easier to honor them. You know, again, that's not honor, that's blackmail. I'm not saying if your husband is violent or abusive, and let's be honest, real quick, the term is overused in today's world. Well, he's abusive. Why? He wouldn't let me spend $300 on a shopping spree when we can't pay our bills. Okay, anyway, sorry. But if he is violent, if he is abusive, if you are physically in danger, then get out, move out, divorce him, leave, I'll help you pack. But usually in today's world, we think that if marriage isn't easy, well, we married the wrong person. It would be so much easier to honor the person if he was better or if he would have been the right person. Here's a newsflash. Everyone marries the wrong person. Everyone is a mismatch. If you marry a human, it's mismatched. So let me chase a rabbit here for a second. Our enemy Satan blows things out of proportion when it comes to marriage and marriage issues because he knows it causes greater destruction. You go, okay, what do you mean? Okay, I'll explain. When we hear a sermon or someone talk about love our neighbor as ourselves, we realize, yeah, I need to love my neighbor. A neighbor literally means anybody that we're in contact with. It doesn't just mean the guy who lives next door. But when we hear this, we go, yep, I need to do that. And I need God's help. I need his strength. I need his wisdom. I need his grace in order to love our neighbor. And if this was a sermon, we'd say, amen, yes, I need to work on that. But when it comes to our spouse, our husband specifically, We cringe. We lash out. We make excuses. We falter. We blow it off because, again, if Satan can get us to neglect the responsibilities God has given us for our marriage, he knows it will destroy our marriage, our family, ultimately our country. And God is so in love with the idea of marriage, he created it and used it as his example of the church and the Father. He said, in fact, that it's a mystery. In fact, the bond between a husband and wife is a mystery, not fully comprehended by us as humans here on earth, and yet he has very strict guidelines. Now, I'll say it again. What I'm called to do during hard times, during suffering, during discouragement, especially in marriage, and many of you might say, look, if I'm going to honor my husband, it's going to be hard. It's going to feel like suffering. It's going to be discouraging. It's going to be a challenge. Well, I get it. But what I'm called to do is gut-busting hard, and I want to make sure, listen to me, ladies, I want to make sure that all of us, husbands and wives, men and women, that we don't waste this opportunity to call on God's grace and allow his Spirit to flow in me, through me, and make me more like Jesus. Ladies, is it hard to love, respect, and honor your husbands? Absolutely. For many of you, it's harder than for others. But realize that you've been given an incredible opportunity to say, God, in these hard times, allow me to experience your grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. You know, that verse in 2 Corinthians, Paul, just before that, pleaded, please take this from me, please take this from me, please take this from me, three times. And God said, no, but I will give you my grace, which is more than sufficient. And that word there, grace, means I'm going to allow you to get through this and be strengthened and make me look good. So don't waste this opportunity to be more like Jesus. Yes, it sounds kind of somewhat manipulative, but the truth is that's what Satan wants you to think. Throw that out the door and understand that in the toughest times to honor, love, and respect your husbands, that's the greatest opportunity to rely on God's grace and be more like Jesus. This is Garth Heckman, David Alliance, keep slaying giants. Oh, and by the way, it is all about being like Jesus, right? Of course.